The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. I got down here approximately 10 seconds ago. Sam is sweating. We need one of those fireman poles from my office straight down to the cellar. Anyhow, we're on the air, and this is live, and we've got a lot to get to today. We're going to be talking some about trade war with the gathering of world leaders in Davos. Becoming a hot topic. Lots of commentators are weighing in on that subject. And also, we're going to get to a story that I didn't have time to get into yesterday on Germany, just supplying all of these North African nations and Middle Eastern nations with arms. I think it's the world's third leading arms supplier, Germany, now. So we'll get into that here in just a second. And then also we'll look at, I forget the guy's name, Kaplan is his last name. He came out with a new book talking about the problem with modern education. And of course that gets our attention, given that we're in the education. Well, it's not a business, but we certainly have a college. We have an academy. I talked a little bit about that on Tuesday and mentioned it also in a forum to our students, just how special a godly education is. And when you look at what is available in the world, it just makes you that much more appreciative. Well, firstly, I thought I'd update you on the public appearance or personal appearance campaign. My father had a speaking campaign out in Los Angeles Sunday night, and then Monday night he spoke on the subject of Hebrews, Paul's book, the book of Hebrews. And the first night of the pack, this was the Sunday night meeting, there were 230 people total. And the estimate, I think that's about 80 people that came out that are actually members of God's church. So it means about 150 or so came in from out in the world, people that perhaps read the trumpet.com website or the print version or see my father's program from week to week. So 150 non-members, and then the next night there was a little bit of a drop-off, 175 total, and of that I think about 110 were non-members. Already I think about 40 of those that attended the campaign have signed up for a follow-up Bible study, which I believe happens this next weekend. So some pretty good fruit to come from these two lectures. And hopefully more to come in the weeks and months ahead. There's also another pack scheduled for Houston, Texas, on the weekend of February 11th and 12th. So that's certainly something to keep an eye on, and we'll update you on the stats and figures from that particular campaign as well. And speaking of my father and his messages, his new program for tomorrow is on the subject of Ruth, the Old Testament book, and he talks about it in relation to Jesus Christ, his coming rule, and David's throne. So a lot to dig into on this forthcoming Key of David episode. You can look for that at the trumpet.com website tomorrow. And speaking of tomorrow, Sam and I will be heading down to Jerusalem for the weekend to spend some time with the students and with Dr. Elat Mazar on Sunday and Monday before we come back then late that night. So a lot going on both sides of the pond in Edmond, our headquarters campus there in Edmond, Oklahoma, and of course here at Edstone. And then we have that contingent of AC students down in Jerusalem working on the Ophel excavation. I think they've had a fair bit of rain this week, so the students there should be fully caught up on all of their classes and homework. I'll check in with them on that tomorrow. Well, this story from yesterday on Germany's cabinet approving a record-breaking amount of arms exports. It's from Deutsche Welle, and it was actually from DW yesterday, January 24th. And it says here, Germany's current government has approved massive arms exports to countries in conflict areas, according to a new report. It says Angela Merkel's government has approved over 25 billion euros worth of weapons sales since taking power in 2014, her government, that is. She's been there as the head of Germany for quite some time. In any event, it says it puts this current administration, a coalition of Merkel's center-right Christian Democrats and the center-left Social Democrats, above any other German government in modern history. I mean, it is supplying arms, this nation, and the top importer of German arms is Algeria. We'll come more to that in just a second, the significance of that. It imported 1.36 billion euros in recent years. The top 10 list also features three Middle Eastern nations involved in the Yemen conflict: Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. So here they are supplying arms to so many of these nations that are going to be in the Psalm 83 Alliance. These are the prophecies that factor in to these developments, Psalm 83 and, of course, Daniel 11 and verse 40. But let me take you back. Speaking of Algeria, let me just take you back to my father's article from 2013. You can get to this at thetrumpet.com, the website. And the article is titled, quite simply, Watch Algeria. It's from April of 2013. It was in that print edition. But you can also run a search on thetrumpet.com today and read this article yet again and see just how prescient it was back 3-4 years ago. My father writes, but Iran isn't the only one interested in Africa. Germany is making strong inroads as well. Both of these powers are racing to get as much control of North Africa as they can. They will inevitably clash with each other. It says the reason this is so significant is that these two powers are prophesied to clash in the end time. And then he refers to the prophecy in Daniel 11 and verse 40. And basically he says it's Germany leading a group of nations in Europe against Iran and radical Islam, the king of the north coming against the king of the south. After the king of the south, the radical Islamic movement headed up by Iran just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. And so we're watching this prophecy being fulfilled. You can see the two camps, just even in the way that Germany exports arms. Let me just play an excerpt for you from my father's program from a few years ago. This is Psalm 83 is being fulfilled. That was the title of it. It's clip number 3.
This clash is going to come between Germany and Iran. That's what it amounts to. And then once Germany conquers Iran and really most of the Middle East, then they and these moderate Arabs are going to form an alliance. It's all prophesied in your Bible. And they're going to start World War III because they're going to feel very confident after taking over the Middle East. Now, that's what this is all about. This gives that victory will give alliance the confidence to do a lot more than just take over the Middle East. But notice in Daniel 11 and verse 40, there's no U.S. there. Well, there's almost no U.S. in the Middle East now. Because of our weakness, Europe is moving in to fill that void and are going to become the world's number one superpower very shortly.
That's the big overview that he gives to you from a program back in August of 2015. Germany conquering Iran, the king of the north coming against the king of the south. And then from there, I mean, it launches right into World War III. And like he brings out, and of course we've noted this before many times, the fact that the United States is not mentioned in that Daniel 11 prophecy. So returning back to this 2013 piece, Watch Algeria, my father said, well, just to paraphrase some of this about just the tremendous events, the upheavals in the Middle East. Why? But further on down with respect to Algeria, it says, why is Germany so interested in Algeria? It says a big part of the reason is oil. And then it talks about some of the exports there of oil. It says Europe consumes another 40% of Algerian exports, with Spain and Italy also relying heavily on Algeria for their natural gas needs. It's quoting from an article there. And then my father says, do you think Germany will sit back and do nothing while terrorists take over Algeria? I think you're going to find Algeria getting a lot of help from Europe, especially Germany. This was an article from 2013, April of 2013, almost 5 years ago. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, as Richard Palmer was pointing out to me this morning, it's not like you look into the Bible and see all of these, you know, very, very specific statements about Algeria specifically, but you do have a complete prophetic picture. And with the help of that Psalm 83 prophecy about who's on what side, I mean, then you can put together a really accurate forecast like that one from 2013, where my father says, I think you're going to find Algeria getting a lot of help from Europe. And now, I mean, they're at the top of the list. Germany exports more arms to Algeria than any other nation. Why is Germany so interested in Algeria, of all places? Well, we got into that 5 years ago. And now look at how it's playing out. It just shows you, I mean, even if you don't know all the specific details, it shows you what an advantage we have if we have God's focus, if we believe the prophecies of God. I tied in this point on focus with one of my doctrines lectures the other day. My father had talked about Ezra and Nehemiah and how just going into the study of those books with a focus on David's throne, just how it changes the whole, I mean, it just deepens that study tremendously. And it's the same principle here with respect to these major prophecies, Psalm 83, Daniel 11, and so on. If you just see what God says and believe it, look at what it enables us to understand. We can watch world events and weigh in on these happenings and tell you what you can expect in the months and years ahead. It says Germany, this is back to that 2013 article, Germany is the financial leader of Europe today. That gives it a lot of power in other areas as well. This is an astounding development considering Germany's condition at the end of World War II. I mean, it was just buried under rubble at the end of World War II, 70 years ago. And now it's the third leading arms supplier in the world. The world's third biggest weapons exporter. These are the kinds of headlines that we're seeing now. Another one from just a few months ago. German arms sales to Egypt, Saudi Arabia, up 500%. Well, here again, look at that Psalm 83 alliance. I mean, why when you look at all of these headlines, do you see these same reoccurring developments? Germany, I mean, just 70 years ago, buried under rubble, and now look at them today. My father said in that 2013 piece, the Bible shows that another strong man, I mean, here's the Daniel 8 prophecy, another strong man is going to rise up and take control of Europe. Just like Adolf Hitler did. We expect this to happen very soon. Right now, European leaders see the King of the South trying to dominate the fuel in the Middle East and Africa and can be sure, and you can be sure that they are going to react. Europe will once again choose the path of war in order to secure its resources. That strongman is going to do a lot of damage in the world while seeking to secure Europe's dominance. And then it talks about all the arms sales. Germany sold less than 20 million euros worth of military equipment to Algeria. That was in 2010. And it says in 2011 and 2012, it sold $400 million worth. 20 times as much. And what was that article I just gave to you, the most recent one? Now it's $1.36 billion. I mean, look at how it's gone up just in the last 10 years, year by year. $20 million, $400 million, now $1.36 billion. Why is Germany so interested? Well, again, going back to that key statement from 2013, my father said, I think you're going to find Algeria getting a lot of help from Europe, especially Germany. And is that ever happening? One more clip here from my father's program. This is Secret Whirlwind Destroys Iran. Here again, to just keep our minds on the big picture. Clip number four.
Let me just read to you, and we'll send you a booklet that will explain all this to you about Germany's secret strategy to destroy Iran. And we have a huge list of countries with German military deployments, outsourced arms, manufacturing, and arms trading partners. And I could go down to that list. I think we have about 15 countries where they're just surrounding all of Iran and their allies. I mean, this is carefully crafted. And this is German thoroughness. This is the way they prepare for war.
That's from 2016, just a couple of years ago. And, of course, we've talked for a number of years now about this whirlwind strategy, how that Iran is, in fact, surrounded. When you look at Germany's influence, whether it's in its foreign policy or just as an arms supplier, I mean, the other day we talked about Germany, really, German tanks are rolling into Syria. Turkey's incursion into Syria. I mean, it's backed by Germany, at least by Germany's hardware. You're going to see Germany's fingerprints on a lot of nations in this region. It factors into so many prophecies. Make sure that you go to thetrumpet.com and look for Watch Algeria. There's another one from 2012 that we posted. Germany's arms trade with Algeria explodes. Some of the same points that I'm bringing out to you right now. And we've been talking about this for a year. You would think Algeria wouldn't really factor in that significantly to end time prophecy. Here again, the trumpet, though. The trumpet keeps you informed. Big story for sure. Also, as I said at the top of the show, a lot of headlines now about an oncoming trade war. The headline at Geopolitical Futures just from yesterday, why the U.S. can't afford a trade war with the EU. It says here in Geopolitical Futures, this is George Friedman's establishment, it says when Donald Trump ran for president, he promised to protect U.S. industries from unfair trade practices. He focused on the steel industry, which he said suffers when other countries dump their steel products on the U.S. Market. And this article explains how that just a few years into his administration, or months, sorry, after his inauguration last January, I think it was in April that he asked the U.S. Commerce Department to see if steel would qualify under the Section 232, it's called, the Trade Expansion Act. And if so, then that would allow for the president to impose sanctions on EU companies, basically for national security reasons. It was just a way to sort of bypass Congress. Well, it was reported that the Commerce Department got back to the president with its review of his request, I think, 2 weeks ago. And we don't yet know the conclusions because it hasn't been made public. But it is possible that President Trump may be considering some high tariffs on EU steel production. And Europe's very worried about this. Again, you get to that Davos conference that's going on now. I think President Trump speaks tomorrow. But the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, she's already, again, come out and criticized all of this this trade war rhetoric that's coming from the Trump administration. Geopolitical Futures says now the Trump administration is considering imposing new tariffs on steel imports. And while China is often the suggested target of such policies, another critical trading partner for the U.S. would also be affected, the European Union. And what have we said about this coming trade war, where the United States and Britain are effectively frozen out? That's coming. You're going to see, here's another thing, another forecast to be looking for. This trade alliance between the European Union and China. It's the U.S. and the U.K. that are going to be frozen out. It says the EU here is the second largest producer of steel in the world, accounting for 11% of global production. Increasing steel tariffs, therefore, could ignite a trade war with the EU, something that ultimately goes against U.S. interests. So obviously, I mean, we've written about this before years ago, but you just see, again, the numbers or the percentages increase, the dependence on these two blocks. I think 20% of America's exports go to Europe and vice versa. It's about 20% of EU exports that come into America. It's bigger than it was 10, 12, 15 years ago, the chunk. And so if a trade war happens, it just means it's going to hit harder when it does happen. And this geopolitical futures piece goes back and looks at even recent history when George W. Bush, he increased tariffs on steel coming in from Europe by about 30%. And quite a few nations then went to the World Trade Organization to complain. And it, I think it was like 20 months that those high tariffs were in place before the U.S. finally did remove them. But then the other way that it hits the United States hard is that you have a lot of other companies that are connected to the imports of that steel coming in, U.S. companies just receiving that supply. And how many jobs are lost when, you know, all of a sudden that steel becomes much more expensive to purchase from EU nations? So there's lots of ways that this can adversely impact the United States. It'll be interesting to watch. To this point, I mean, it's been a lot of rhetoric. And, of course, you know all about what President Trump or the candidate Trump was saying on out on the stump before he was elected, that we're already in a trade war. And what we need to do is to just make it fair. And in a lot of ways, I mean, he was right. He's right. I mean, China with its currency manipulation and even Germany, I mean, it works in their favor. That's the way nations operate. They look out for themselves first. There's another piece here at the Lowy Institute for International Policy. It says what a U.S.-China trade war would look like. It says, sometime soon, U.S. President Donald Trump will announce his plan to respond to what the administration calls China's economic aggression. When he does, it's not only China that needs to be prepared to respond. Together, accounting for well over a third of global output, the collateral damage of a serious trade fight between two countries would be enormous, let alone the damage caused to the two nations directly. So who's going to be hit hardest? That's what commentators want to know. If we come into a full-scale trade war, well, you put trade war together with the debt that the United States is buried under. As this piece brings out, the risk of a serious clash is quite high. I mean, can the United States sustain it? Another crisis? Another economic crisis? And then, of course, this piece is talking about the ripple effect. How would other nations be impacted by it? And think back to what Herbert Armstrong said in the mid-1980s. He was saying in The Plain Truth there that I can see now that it's going to be an economic crisis that's really going to bring those 10 kings together in Europe. And in speaking of Europe, as I said, they're not happy with the current administration, to say the least. The current administration in Washington. At Davos yesterday, Angela Merkel, she made another public statement disagreeing with the U.S. and Donald Trump, some of the things that he promised the American people It says here, this is from CNBC, German leader Angela Merkel said that multilateralism was under threat and said that protectionism is not the answer to the world's problems. And then it quotes her as saying, frankly speaking, the country I have the honor to represent and where I am chancellor has difficulties, and polarization is something that we see in our country as well, which we haven't had for decades. And then further on, she says, Germany wishes to be a country that leads its contribution in the future to solve the problems of the world together. We think that shutting ourselves off and isolating ourselves will not lead us into a good future. Protectionism is not the proper answer. See, that's the way they see the United States. You know, America first, isolating ourselves. How that's going to make America stronger, says Donald Trump. She says, no, this is not the answer. This is not the way to go. She said further, let us not shut off from others. Let us keep pace with the best in the world and let us canvass for this multilateral approach. So here again, it leaves no question in your mind as to who she's primarily aiming those criticisms at. Deutsche Welle yesterday said that Merkel, well, the headline from DW is that Merkel also called on European Union leaders to form a stronger, more unified foreign policy. So a lot of prophecies converge here. The coming trade wars, the worldwide economic crisis, the 10 kings coming together, the strong man that's going to emerge out of Germany, the clash between the king of the north and the king of the south, the start of World War III, and culminating in the return of Christ to this earth. Now, as my father said before, I mean, when you look at President Trump and the people that turned out by the millions to vote for him, There is a lot of sentiment in the United States that's, it's the same as what President Trump has said. It really resonated, what he was saying about the trade war. But just going back to that first piece that I went through, I mean, the ripple effect of something that significant and dramatic. We were writing, I think, back in 1999. This is almost 20 years ago. Tim Thompson, the late Tim Thompson, he even talked about steel manufacturing. I mean, another angle to this story is just the massive decline in U.S. steel manufacturing and the fact that there's so much steel coming in now from Asian nations and from European nations. And as I say, China manipulates its currency, really, in a way to obscure the fact that it's actually applying tariffs on goods coming in from the United States, imports from the U.S. And Germany does the exact same thing with the euro. Along comes Donald Trump, and he says, we're going to fight back. And again, as I've noted before on this show, he feels like he has a lot of leverage. Pretty soon, though, all of the leverage that America has had is going to be gone. It will be gone, and particularly so when you see all of these nations banding together in order to freeze out the United States and the UK. Again, go back and look at the Trumpet magazine from July 2016. China is steering the world toward war. We talk about Ezekiel 4 and 5, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 52. Some of these verses that have to do with a coming trade war. There's the other prophecy in Isaiah, I think it is, the Mart of Nations chapter. I forget where that is specifically, but just one final quote here from that 2016 piece. China is steering the world toward war. My father says, America's problems are a direct result of America's sins. No political candidate is going to make America great again. Yeah, excuse me, that's actually from Great Again, the booklet. Greatness is not coming to the United States, not until after Jesus Christ returns to this earth. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send any comments or feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Herbert W. Armstrong described Germany's devastating destruction in 1944 and 1945 as one of the worst beatings ever administered to any nation. Western leaders from both sides of the Atlantic assured our peoples that a demoralized Germany would never again be able to disturb the peace of the world. But while Washington and London were promising that German militarism would never again be able to strike, Herbert Armstrong was warning the world of one final resurrection of a German-led Holy Roman Empire. Only a very few listened. Mr. Armstrong said German industry and the German people's willpower and determination to work, produce, and organize was the very heart and lifeblood of all Europe.
The nations of Europe want to unite. They just don't know how to do it.
He said the prostrate body of Europe could not come back without the leadership of a revived and vigorous Germany.
And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
The world is witnessing history repeat itself one more time. Request Germany and the Holy Roman Empire for more on this important subject. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
They are not teaching you, in a word, to live. They're only teaching you how to earn a living. And there's a great difference. Of course, we need to know both. I'm not quarreling with teaching anyone how to earn a living. We all, you know, we need to earn a living. We don't want to starve. So that's all right. But what's the use of just earning a living when you don't go on and also teach how to live? What are the real values of life? What are the true values and what are the false values? You know, most people are striving after a lot of wind because they have a false sense of values. They don't know the right from the wrong, the true values from the false.
That's Herbert Armstrong telling you about what you need to know regarding modern education, the problem with education today, and that there's instruction there on how to make a living, but precious little, if anything, on the subject of how to live. This book by Brian Kaplan, there's a piece at the James G. Martin Center for Academic Renewal about Kaplan's book, his long-awaited book, as it says here in this review. I'll just read it to you. In his long-awaited book, George Mason University economist Brian Kaplan argues that the education system is a waste of time and money. It's not just overly expensive. We've known that for some time, but it also is a waste of time. And this review says he is emphatically not against people learning skills and knowledge, but argues that our current system of education does a poor job of that, and at inordinate cost. Kaplan puts his case starkly, and then it quotes him, his book. Most critics of our education system miss what I see as its supreme defect. There's way too much education. Typical students burn thousands of hours studying material that neither raises their productivity nor enriches their lives. I mean, it's not even really helping them on the question of how to earn a living. And there's nothing there. There's nothing there that enriches their lives. Kaplan argues that most students derive scant long-term benefit from their schooling, including college. He cites a mass of evidence showing that most students retain little knowledge or skills they were ostensibly taught: literacy, numeracy, scientific method, reasoning. Student achievement is remarkably poor in all. What students appear to learn most effectively are the things they work with steadily, such as statistics for those who are in quantitative fields, which is pretty much the same as learning work skills on the job. In other words, you could learn it on the job if you had on-the-job training. You could learn it just as effectively, maybe more so, and save a lot of time and a lot of money. And this comes from a man who's an economist. He's a teacher at a university. He's a professor. So it's not like he's saying, you know, don't go and educate yourself. But he's just looking at modern education and all of the problems with it, the waste of time, and the fact that there's nothing there to enrich your lives. This is what Mr. Armstrong was talking about. They don't learn how to live. And so you have even the ones, in the case of how to earn a living, that are successful, you have more and more miserable lives, miserable lifestyles. Divorce and remarriage and divorce again. It's just common. I was telling our students on Tuesday just how different it is at God's College and at our academy, our K through 12 school there in Edmond, Oklahoma, and quite a few around the world that take classes online, including my two children right here at Edstone. The Bible instructor, just the other day, he was telling my kids and the others in the Bible class there at IA about this prestigious private school that took a field trip to Armstrong Auditorium there in Edmond. This is a top quality school in Oklahoma, and they had a nice field trip to to God's House, as it turns out, a world class concert. And our instructor was saying to the students that that school, on average, it had the second highest ACT scores in the entire state of Oklahoma, second to Imperial Academy. Our school, the little Imperial Academy, on the campus, right there, tucked inside the campus of Armstrong College. It's pretty amazing. The fruits, it's a small school. But, you know, when you look at the academy, it started just 10 years ago with a handful of students and basically just a few church members to help with the teaching and the administration and a handful of graduates from Armstrong College. And none of them, for the most part, had much in the way of worldly credentials. They didn't come into it with all these big degrees and such, and degrees in education, the teachers, I mean. And now you look at it 10 years on, my daughter just took her ACT over the summer, and she's going through her senior year right now. But on average in the state of Oklahoma, you have the highest test scores in the state coming out from God's Academy. God's way of education, as I was saying to the students on Tuesday. I mean, that's just one of the benefits, because the beauty of it is that you're not only going to develop the intellect and skills that will help you in the working environment after school, but of course you're also being taught how to live. As I just mentioned to you, the instructor that passed along this information to the students, he was the Bible instructor. And that's the first class of the day. And what an education you can get if it's founded on a spiritual foundation. If there's something there to enrich your life, and with the Bible, there's plenty. God offers a lot of spiritual enrichment, of health and nutrition, spiritually speaking. How to live. What a difference when you compare God's schools with the schools in this world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, this is verse 18, "Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise." Humble yourself, in other words. Submit to God's instruction. And then see just how fast you're going to accumulate wisdom. Verse 19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, 'He takes the wise in their own craftiness.'" See, all of the elites in this world, all the so-called wisdom, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Again, you have, well, look at some of the scholars, the commentators that have all of the education, and like we cover so often on the program here, just look at how much blindness there is with respect to what's happening in the world, with respect to what they should be covering in the case of journalists, with respect to the blindness in the leaders, totally unprepared for what's coming. Verse 20 says, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. That's what motivates modern education. It's vanity. It's vanity. It's all about the label. It's just all about the degree. And in some cases, I suppose, the more prestigious the degree or the piece of paper that you have once you do graduate from one of those worldly institutions, I mean, that may carry some weight. Once you go out and obtain a job, and maybe you will get a higher salary. But coming back to the problems overall, I mean, we see evils multiplying all over the earth. And here, I mean, here we are, and there's more. I mean, there's higher education all over the place, certainly in the West. And yet, look at the appalling evils. Look at the division in the United States. Look at the hatred and the strife. Look at all the shootings. We had a headline the other day of the school shootings. There hasn't been a massive one yet, but taken together, all these separate incidents. I mean, we're off to a bloody start to the year. And it's the same every year with the disasters, the wars, the violence, the drugs. Therefore, verse 21, therefore let no man glory in men. See, you come into God's school, you come into God's college, and God immediately goes to work on removing vanity, on removing this kind of vain pursuit. He humbles us. True education humbles us. It helps for us to see who and what we are apart from God and how much we need God to change that wicked and vile heart, that deceitful heart. Just back up a page. I was amazed even as I ran a search through some of my epistles of Paul notes this morning, just how much Paul, in these first few chapters of Corinthians, how much he talks about wisdom, the wisdom of this world, and of course, godly wisdom. And what a difference. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 6, it says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. We don't speak with the kind of wisdom that you see in this world, Paul said. God sees that, as we just read, God sees that as foolishness. Mr. Armstrong wrote, this is back in 1946, it was the year before he established Ambassador College, and he talks about that here in this letter, but more broadly here at the start, he talks about just education in general. He says here, today the truth appears as mere foolishness to the highly educated of this world. None but the fool says there is no God. Yet surveys show most college graduates say it. They say there's no God. Mr. Armstrong says they're just educated fools. They're getting all this education, and yet they're fools because they've rejected God. He says here, this is God's work, and several months ago, God showed me, as if by special revelation, that the time has come to found a college in connection with his work. Where today are young people who wish to dedicate their lives to God to go find true education? Where do you see it? Where do you find it? I was telling the freshmen just this morning in class, We were going over the subject of marriage and family and how that with respect to God and these institutions that he created, they're love relationships because God is love. That's 1 John 4 and verse 8, verse 16. And I was just mentioning how that if you're going to really get the most out of this experience at college, you're going to have to get your mind off of yourself and really give to others and really serve and sacrifice and follow in the example that God and Jesus Christ have set. What a demonstration of unselfish, outflowing concern. John 3:16. People in the world today, I mean, they utter that verse, John 3:16. They don't even know what it means. They don't even stop and meditate on it. What a demonstration. What an example. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his only begotten son. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for all of mankind. And so if you're going to have a productive career at college, at God's college, you have to practice the way of giving to others, getting your mind off of self and onto how you can serve others. Where is that taught on earth today? What college, what educational institution are you going to get that instruction from? You're not going to get it. The colleges of the world today are just like the world they live in or that they're built in. It's all about you going and getting what you can get. And then the university, it gets what it can get. High tuition, room and board, all that sort of thing. It's all based on the principle of getting and taking, not on giving. I mean, if the college was, certainly they need funding to pay for the expenses and such. But if coming from both sides, if the students coming in were set on helping the work of that college, and then the college, the administration was really committed to giving everything that it could to educate that young person, to give them the best quality education that they could give, to give them something that would enrich their lives. Imagine the good that could come out of an environment like that where all sides are giving. But the thing is, that's the way it works at God's college. We remind the students all the time, look, your education here, there's plenty of opportunity. God might, he may well send you all around the world. Ed Stone, Jerusalem, who knows? And along the way, I mean, that education that you're receiving, it's heavily subsidized by those who support the work. And here again, when you look at coworkers and members of this church that are giving to that effort, they're giving to it. Then the students, they come in and the college gives so much to them. Their lives are enriched. And then they're being taught to give your heart to the work. It works. That principle of giving, it runs through and through these institutions in God's church. That's why it's such a blessing for all of us who are involved in it. The college itself is here to support the work of God's church has a message to give to the whole world. That's always the focus. That doesn't mean we never trip up, and as I told the students this morning, and get selfish and turn inward. We've got to fight that. That pull is strong coming from the devil. His influence, selfishness, vanity, lust, greed. We've got to stand against the devil. Fight against that influence and really give unto God. Mr. Armstrong went on to say in this 1946 article, the basis of this world's educational curriculum is evolution. God showed me the time has come to establish an educational institution based on truth, on God's revelation of truth, supplemented with those facts of natural and exact sciences, which man has been able himself to discover, and all based on and explained by and in harmony with the Bible. The Bible. So you're going to come to God's colleges and get a lot of instruction on the natural and exact sciences. But all of it's based, you see. All of it's in harmony with the Holy Bible. He says this is not a theological seminary, not a Bible college, not a college for future ministers alone, but a general college giving a general and full education based on truth for any and all who want to know how to live, how to train and educate their minds, and to be started off on the lifelong process of right education, of developing the mind without neglecting the heart and the soul. See, there has to be something that enriches your lives. Spiritual knowledge, revelation from God. Develop the mind without neglecting the heart and the soul. Paul continued here in 1 Corinthians 2. He said in verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." See, we're not coming to you like the wise of this world. We're speaking the mysteries of God. We're teaching you why man was born. We're teaching you why God instituted marriage in the very beginning, in chapter 2 of Genesis. We're showing you why family. There's a tremendous lesson in it, a vision, in fact, because God himself is a family. Mystery of the ages. It's a secret. It's a mystery to this world because it can only be revealed through the Holy Spirit of God, and the natural mind of man doesn't have the Spirit of God and therefore can't understand spiritual things. That's what 1 Corinthians 2 is talking about. It takes repentance toward God, faith, baptism, the laying on of hands. That's what it takes to receive the Spirit of God so that our minds can be open to the truth, these mysteries. Now that gets at the heart of what true education is all about. Most of our young people come to the college, you know, when they're 18, 19 years of age and they're not baptized yet. But really, the education, the training, the experience that they pick up, it's all oriented around this. True education, receiving God's Spirit, preparing for baptism, learning how to give. When you receive the Spirit of God, I mean, it's the Spirit of love. It's God, His nature. It's the greatest gift that we could receive from God. Verse 8 says, "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." I mean, the world crucified Christ. They didn't know these mysteries. They rejected him as the Messiah. They rejected his instructions, his teachings. They attacked him. They persecuted him. And of course, spiritually speaking, we all had a hand in ramming that spear into his side. That's what we've got to repent of. Sin, the way of selfishness and vanity. Mr. Armstrong wrote in The Incredible Human Potential, he said, "Why couldn't the more highly learned understand? Because he was preaching Christ's message of the kingdom of God. They couldn't understand Paul because he came with the spiritual knowledge of God, with the kingdom of God message, spiritual knowledge. And you can't discern that with just the five senses. It takes a miracle from God. It takes the Spirit of God. But look at that miraculous process at work at God's college. God's college, God's church. There, I mean, in those institutions, in those organizations, you have solutions. solutions to the problems of this world. One final clip here from Mr. Armstrong's old program. This is clip two.
No, we need the knowledge of the way to peace, the way to happiness, the way to joy, the way to peace of mind, the full, interest-packed, abundant life, and real, genuine prosperity, which does not necessarily mean great wealth at all. Might mean that in the case of some people if they know how to handle that kind of wealth after they have it, because most people probably wouldn't know how to handle it properly. And the knowledge of what lies on beyond, what's going to happen when you die. They don't teach you that in college either because they don't know.
All of it. Our purpose for being. Why this physical life. What it's meant to prepare us for. All of it's taught. The future. What happens when you die. There's no college like Ambassador College, Mr. Armstrong said. And we would say the same about Armstrong College. It's a revolutionary new type of college. Mr. Armstrong said about AC, a forward-looking, progressive institution built on soundest principles, having highest goals and objectives, yet employing the best of proven methods of administration and maintaining highest academic standards. Well, that's all that we have time for on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.